Hebrews, the 11th chapter, our scripture reading is verse 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. This is God's holy word, infallible, inerrant, and eternal. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our study of Hebrews 11 brings us to the life of Sarah, who is mentioned almost as it were as a byword in this passage of all of those who by faith knew God and found the grace of God and salvation and the promise of God to be their hope for all eternity. The background to this passage, however, is the 15th chapter of Genesis, which I'd like to read from to give you the background for what our author is saying in these brief verses. As he mentions, almost as it were off the cuff, Sarah herself received power to conceive, and then note what he says, she was past age, reiterating what we will read in Genesis, since she considered him faithful who had promised. There's Sarah's faith. And then our author says, from one man, that is from Abraham, with Sarah, there came a great and innumerable company of descendants that God had promised. Where had God promised that? Well, we turn back to the 15th chapter of Genesis. We read these words. The Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, "Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward will be very great." Then Abram said, "But O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." There's a problem. God had promised a great line that would descend from him. If you go back to chapter 12, it would be he would bless the nations of the earth. And he had promised that Abraham would produce an offspring. This is before he has even a child by Hagar. And he says, "I don't have an heir." Then here is this promise. "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man, that is Eleazar, your servant, will not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.'" And then he brought him outside and he said, "Look toward the heaven. Number the stars if you are able to number them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now that passage from Genesis 15 is very compact. The Lord says, "You will have a son." He brings him outside and he says, "Look at the stars." Now stop for a moment and contemplate that. You've seen many a beautiful dark night where you could go out and you see the stars, some nights more so than others. Have you ever gazed at one of those very dark nights and looked with awe and wonder at the multiplicity of stars? And has that thought ever come to your mind that there are so many, I couldn't possibly count them? And then God kind of does this to Abraham after he takes him out and says, "Look up there." Abraham sees those numberless stars. "Hey, Abraham, count them if you can." It's almost with a sense of humor that the author of Scripture puts that there. What's he saying? He is emphasizing the utter impossibility of numbering the stars. But what does that mean? It means that the one who made them, who numbered them, is great and glorious, omnipotent and all-powerful. And he is the one who turns to Abram and says, "So shall your descendants be." as many as those stars. Can you imagine the wonder that must have gone through Abraham's mind and heart at that moment? And what then does Scripture say? Abraham says, "How's that going to work, Lord?" What does he say? "As many as that, I don't even have one kid yet." He doesn't say that. It says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Fast forward to chapter 11 in Hebrews, where the Lord, through the author of Hebrews, has been talking to us about this man, Abraham, and is now going to include his wife, Sarah. But remember the struggles that they went through. This prominent man who was given this promise of a numberless group of descendants from his own body. They wouldn't be able to be counted. Lived in the Middle East, a prominent man whose name was the father of many, but for years, even years after this promise, he was the father of none. Zero. What's your name? The Sheikh of the desert, as they come to visit him in his royal tent. "My name is Abram." Immediately that communicated "father of many." They understood the meaning of his name instantaneously. What would be the very next question a visitor would ask? "Well, how many sons do you have?" "None." "Father of many, no sons." "Father of many, no children." "Father of many, years, months, years." Humiliating. Embarrassing. But the Scripture says he believed God. His faith wavered. There is, of course, that instance where the years had passed and still there was no promised son. And so Sarah cooks up the plan to give Hagar to Abraham. Hagar takes her into the tent and produces a son. Interesting, he's still in this advanced age, able to physically reproduce. But the promise of God was not to be fulfilled through Ishmael. And in the 17th chapter of Genesis, God tells him that and reminds him that the promise would be through the son that God had given, would give him. And after years of waiting, after year after year after year of waiting, there came a time when even Father Abraham was no longer able to produce, because God appears again in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and we read that, and says, "Your wife Sarah next year will have a son." And it's at that point that Sarah interjects these words. And those are the words referred to by the author of Hebrews when it says, "By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age." Sarah's sitting there listening behind the tent door, and she hears this conversation between the Lord and Abraham, and you know, what's going through her mind? She's saying, well, what's going through her mind? She speaks. She says in the 18th chapter of Genesis, verse 12, "I am worn out." In other words, unable to produce, barren. She could not reproduce and have children. "And my Lord," her husband, she says, "my Lord is old." And it's at precisely that point that the writer of Hebrews introduces the name of Sarah with Abraham and reminds us in this passage of the miracle working power of God, the omnipotent in whom their faith rested, the marvelous power of God that would bring to them that which they could not produce themselves, a son. And it's by faith, that Sarah is able to have a child. Our writer has five things, I think, that he wants to put before us, and I'd like to look at them briefly. First, what are the impediments or the barriers or the hurdles for her faith. We've already mentioned it. I think there were three hurdles that she had to overcome, that her faith had to dismiss, and she had to go from those hurdles and from those barriers to faith and to trust in God. What were those barriers? Well, she was barren. Scripture repeatedly tells us that. She could not have a child, and she was old, 89 at the time the promise comes, and Abraham, 99. And then there was this unbelief. Because if you read that 18th chapter of Genesis, there was this laughter of Sarah because she laughs and says, I am old and my Lord is old. I'm unable to have children. And she laughs. How can this be? And the immediately following that laughter of unbelief comes this word of God to Sarah in that 18th chapter of Genesis. Is anything too hard for the Lord? She had been considering the age of her husband. Oh, he had had a child some 17 years prior to that, and he had produced Ishmael, and they had hoped that this might be the answer, but it was not to be through Ishmael that God was going to bring the promise. But now he was beyond having children. She was considering her age and her barrenness, her inability. Her body just simply could not have children. And in unbelief, she laughs at this word from the Lord, having listened to the conversation. She had to overcome that barrier, and the way to overcome it was the promise of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And our writer tells us that by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. Somewhere that transformation took place, and she is elevated from the laughter of unbelief to the honor of this passage in Hebrews 11 and the hall of faith. She believed that God, who could do the impossible, was going to give her barrenness fruitfulness, her husband the ability to produce, and they were going to have a child. And by faith she received the power to conceive. That was the effect of her faith. She had to overcome the hurdles, her barrenness, her old age, her unbelief. And by faith she did. And by faith she received the strength to conceive. She had not born children. She had been unable to for all of these years. Abram's wife bare him no children, Genesis 16. It's repeated throughout the passages of Genesis. She was past the age of childbearing, Genesis 17 tells us in verse 17. And unbelief had entered the picture, but by faith she received the ability to conceive. She believed the promise of God. That's how you overcome the barrier of faith. That's how the effect of faith brings to you the promise of God. You rest in the promise of God. What was that promise? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And because of that, her faith trusted God for what was humanly speaking impossible. It's a picture, if you will, of that very same kind of faith that Ezekiel was called to exercise in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where he is brought to that field of dry bones, and the Lord says to him, Ezekiel, what do you see? And he says, I see a valley of dry bones. But of course, you know that the rest of that passage says, speak to the dry bones and command them to live. Can these bones live? Faith says yes. If God is there, he can do anything. And of course, Ezekiel sees this mighty army through the word and the spirit brought forth from death to life. Bones that were dry and gone, lifeless, are brought to life because the power of God is incomparable in that which it can accomplish. And by faith, Sarah trusted in this powerful promise of God that he would bring this child to them, even in their advanced age. And I think that the writer of Hebrews tips his hat to that passage of Genesis when he says, even when she was past the age. You see, even when she knew she could not have children, she believed she was going to have a child. Why? She had gotten past her laughter because God had said so. And she believed in God, the God who is faithful and all-powerful. That's the foundation of her faith. Her faith didn't rest in her manipulation. She was all done with that. Hagar, take Hagar, have a child through her. She's my servant, so this child will be our child and we'll have the problem solved. No, she was beyond that. She had nothing left but faith in the rest and rest in the promise of God, the God who could do the impossible. And humanly speaking, there was absolutely, at this point in life, nothing that Abraham and Sarah could do to have a child. But because of things that are impossible with us, all things are possible with God, because God is sovereign. And God can do whatever he wants in his universe because he made it. He created it. And she judged, that is, she reckoned, she understood, esteemed, however you want to translate it, that the one who promised was faithful. She just turned to God and she said, my God is faithful. He can do what no one else can do. He can do what Abraham can't do. He can do what I can't do. He can give this child, and he did. Humanly speaking, was there any chance, was there any possibility Abraham and Sarah could have a child at their age? No. But with God, all things are possible. The question for you and the question for me is, do you believe God can do all things? Do you believe God can do great things in your life? Is there anything in your life that's too hard for the Lord? It's too hard for him to change that problem, that issue, that heartache, that sorrow, that sadness, that whatever. You fill in the blank. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can he correct it? Can he help it? Can he restore it? Is your situation more difficult than Sarah's problem? I'm going to have a son. I'm old. My husband's worn out. Sarah's problem was a problem only God could solve. Your problem, your circumstance is not too hard for the Lord. Can God give you the strength to do what he calls you to do? Can God overcome the obstacles in your life? Is he the same God, the God of Abraham, the God of Sarah, who's all powerful and who is all faithful? He is the same, never changing, yesterday, today, and forever. He can, he will, and he will by faith. The author of Hebrews is taking all of these people from Old Testament passages and saying, by faith, by faith, by faith, so that you and so that I will by faith look to the God who is faithful, powerful, who never fails. In everything you may rest in him. And what was the fruit of faith in terms of the life of Abraham and Sarah? A numberless posterity which issued from their servant, or from their son, whom they named Laughter. That's what Isaac means. You know, names had meaning in those days. Constant reminder of not only the laughter of Sarah, but remember in that 18th chapter of Genesis, Abraham laughed too. But Abraham's laugh was not the laughter of unbelief. Abraham's laughter was the laughter of faith. When he heard that God would give him a son in his old age, Abraham laughed too. But he laughed because of the triumph of faith in his life as he looked at how God was going to work out this absolutely impossible situation and give him a son. He laughs with joy. And every time this little child was cuddled in their arms, they looked at laughter, and the laughter of the promise of God was in their arms and in their hands and grew up before them and lived with them and was a constant reminder that God is faithful to his promise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He gave a son to someone who could not possibly have a son. He gave an innumerable posterity to Abraham through the child of faith. And he gave another child to someone who could not possibly, humanly speaking, bear a son. And that woman was Mary, who bore Jesus, who was born by the power of the Holy Spirit, the virgin-born Son of God who would come into this world to become the Redeemer of sinners, to fulfill the promise of God that there would be one who would redeem from sin and would bring us into the family of God. That same omnipotent power of God, immeasurably great, that can accomplish His holy will, is the power that abounds to you and to all who trust in Jesus Christ by faith. The Bible says God will give you every blessing in Jesus Christ. By faith, He will save you. Some have come to Christ, some doubting that He could even possibly save them because their life had been in such miserable rebellion. They would ask the question, would God accept me? And the answer is He accepts those who come to Him by faith. You may wonder, is He going to accept that errant child, that unbelieving member of the family, that one who has gone far from the kingdom of God, like the prodigal who is living his life, squandering it in sin and squalor? Can God save even one like that? The Bible says by faith He will save to the uttermost those who come to Him. He'll save you. He'll preserve you. God is with you each day. He'll strengthen you. By faith, you can rest in Him. By faith, He will sustain you. By faith, He will take you through trials that you think are almost unending. By faith, He will prevent temptation from having its way with you if you trust Him by faith. And by faith, you know that He will bring you home to heaven, to that place He is preparing for you, because by faith you trust in the words of Jesus, who said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Faith in His almighty power. Faith in the one who quickens us by grace. Faith in the omnipotence of a God who can produce a nation and an innumerable company of people from one individual who will come to gather at the throne of God and bless His name forever. And faith that will bring those out of darkness and sin into the light of the gospel and into the kingdom of God. And faith that believes that God does this all for His glory and for His praise. The impossibility of having a child for Abraham and for Sarah kicked out the props, as it were, of human ability. It absolutely, once and for all, demonstrated that it was not remotely even possible, but there was only one answer: the God of all power and glory. And it was done so that God would reserve the glory for Himself. I'm sure that there was a tinge of self-glory when Abraham was able to produce a son with Hagar, kind of thing, you know, here it is. Oh, whew, I've got a son. I've got a descendant. He's going to inherit it all. He's the one. God says, no. God says, I will give you a son. And He made it so crystal clear that it was humanly impossible that the only one that would be glorified would be Him. And God is able to give to the one to whom it is humanly impossible to come to God. Because in your own strength you cannot. In your own power you will not. In your rebellion and in your sin you will forever remain one who hates God by nature. But God, in grace has come to cut through that rebellion and draw from sin you out of that bondage and slavery by his sovereign power so that he receives the glory. He alone is to be praised. He alone is the one responsible for your salvation. And praise God, he's done it for everyone that trusts Jesus as Lord. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the miraculous power of God to raise sinners from death to life in Jesus. And this miracle power of God is the power that saves, the power that bestows life and salvation for all who believe. And our writer wants us to see that we must believe. He cites these saints in Hebrews 11 as individuals who are those who trust in the one that he has already described in the first chapters of Hebrews, where he says in chapter 1, long ago at many times God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe. And after he made purification for sins, he sat down on the at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become superior to the angels, as his name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Focusing on Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews wants us to believe in him at the right hand of God, the Savior of sinners, the only Savior whom we must believe. By faith, we must trust in him, receive him. The Bible says, believe in him, and you will be saved. Amen.